pray for him. It was with great sadness yesterday that we heard about Brother Topher. And personally, I loved the man. I thought he was great. We had a lot in common, spent a lot of time with him, spent a lot of time talking to him. And it's a very sad day this morning. But if it's sad for us, imagine how sad it is for Jan and the family, for Darren and Joe, for the girls, and for his immediate family. Pray that God will bless them. But we know that there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar, as a father looks over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. And Topher is there this morning. And we can be there if our faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sorry, Soph, I haven't got a Christmas message for you this morning, but we're going to be looking at John's epistle, the third epistle. I said we were sinking a deep well in John's epistles and John's writings. Well, we're looking at John's epistle and the third epistle, and we're going to read it through. It's a very short epistle and easy to read. You can read it probably in about 5 minutes as we read it. Pray that God will give us an understanding of it and that we will see in it the things that he wants us to see. And John speaks much about love, as I said last week. Almost 100 times he mentions love in his writings, in the gospel and in his epistles. And he speaks about beloved in this chapter 4 times. See if you can spot it as we read through it. The third epistle of John and verse 1. The elder, and that's John himself. He's speaking about himself there. John the elder. And to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and he casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Sure, God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Father, we praise thee again that we've been able to turn to thy word again this morning and to read from it. We pray that it will be a comfort to us this morning, a comfort to each one of us. But we pray as well for those listening online that you will bless them, that it will be a comfort to them. And we pray especially this morning for Jan and for Darren and Joe and the direct family of Topher, that we pray that you will be with them, our God and Father, and in the midst of deep sorrow, that they might find joy, knowing that Topher knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour, and in that they might find joy. And we pray that they therefore might stand upon the rock, that rock Christ Jesus, and that he and he alone will give them strength in this time of need. We pray thy blessing upon us this morning, our God, that as we look at this chapter of thy word, that you will speak to us from it. Help us to understand it, and help us to see in it, our God, the encouragement that John gives to the saints in the church, to those who belong to Christ, the encouragement that he gives to us down the ages as we read this portion of thy word, and help us, our God and Father, to praise thee and to give thee all the glory for all that you do for us. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, this is a very, very short chapter of God's word, a letter that John wrote to a church. And we're not even told of the name of the church. We don't know what the name of the church is, but he wrote a letter to this church. And the main person that is mentioned in this chapter is Gaius, a man called Gaius. And this is who he's writing to. And Gaius's name means hospitality. And I have a personal interest in this chapter. It's all these small epistles. I love them anyway. But I have a personal interest in this chapter because I named my son after this man, Gaius. His name is Nathan Gaius John. Growing up in school, about 13 or 14 years old, he said, "Dad, I hate that name. I hate that name. When somebody says, oh, give us your full name, and I've got to say Nathan Gaius John, everybody laughs." And I said, "Well, it's a good name. It means hospitality. It means friendliness. It means liberality. You're liberal in your giving, and you're liberal in your dealings with other people." And anyway, the years went on, and he got married. He had a son of his own. Guess what he called him? His name is Harry, but his name is Harry Gaius John. And I was quite pleased about that. And I've never really mentioned it, but he obviously wasn't too discontented with the names that he was given at birth. But this man Gaius was a great man. And it seems that when visitors came to the church, they seemed to have an awful lot of passing missionaries in those days and itinerant preachers. And when preachers came to the church, he was the man who said, "Come and stay with me. Come to me for a meal. I'll look after you." And even when they left, he came along and he said, "I'll walk part of the way with you." Because you can imagine there were no cars or buses or trains or anything in those days, and probably not even a donkey. So the traveling preacher would be on foot, and he could be going to the next town, which would be town or city, which would be miles and miles away. So it was a tradition of the day that if you liked somebody and they'd stayed with you or in your town, that you walked with them part of the way along the road. And this is what this Gaius did. And he looked after those who come amongst them. And it tells us, doesn't it, that we should look after people who come amongst us. People who come into our church, people who might have never been in through the door before. We've got to surround them with love, with the love of God. And that's how we should deal with people. And when we get visiting speakers and visiting preachers, wherever they come from, we should welcome them with open arms. That's what we should do. But there are three people mentioned in this chapter. It's fairly simple and straightforward. John is just writing a letter and saying, "I will come to see you shortly. I'm just sending you a short note, and I will come to see you shortly face to face for various reasons, which we'll see down through the passage." But there's three people who are the prime characters in this passage. And the one is Gaius, the one I've mentioned, and that's who the letter was written to. The second one is Diotrephes, and the third one is Demetrius. Now, what you've got there is Diotrephes, his name means hostility. And Demetrius, his name means honesty. So you've got Gaius, who means hospitality, Diotrephes, whose name means hostility, and Demetrius, whose name means honesty. And we'll look more at that in a moment. And it's these three characters that John is speaking to. He's writing to Gaius primarily, but he's mentioning these two other characters as well. And there's only 219 words, if you count them up. Count them up, I might be wrong. But 219 words, I think it is, in this little letter. And less than 50 of them are directed towards Gaius. Less than 50 of them are directed towards Diotrephes. And less than 50 of them are directed at Demetrius. Now, we look a little bit more in detail at it. But it splits itself up into into three parts, basically. There's a commendation and a wish for this man Gaius, a prayer for this man Gaius. Then there's a condemnation of Diotrephes, and then there is an exhortation of Demetrius. And even if you're just a casual reader of this little chapter, as you look through it, you can't help noticing that there is a bad man, and that is Diotrephes, a bad man between two good men. But we know of a good man between two bad men at the cross of Calvary. I hope I said that right then. I think I did. A bad man, a good man between two bad men. And that's who I'd like us to direct our attention to this morning. The one from whom love comes, God himself, the one who went to Calvary's cross that we might be saved. But as John writes to this man Gaius, he obviously loves him very well. As we read him through it, do you see that he mentions that word beloved three times? John the Elder, verse 1, says, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. In verse 2, he calls him beloved again. In verse 5, he calls him beloved. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And in verse 11, he says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Now, these are all exhortations, aren't they? Exhortations to each one of us. But you notice how much this Apostle John loves this man Gaius. I wonder if Gaius was saved under John's ministry, whether he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through John's preaching. We're not told, but it is possible. And one of the verses we'll read later on more or less tells us that, I think. It doesn't say so in so many words, but it would suggest that he was saved under John's preaching. So we've got beloved in there four times. But we've also got in the truth. And in the truth is mentioned six times in these 14 verses. Six times. Four times it's speaking about the truth of God. And twice it's speaking of sincerity. So let's just look at them. Verse 1 says, Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Well, that means Gaius, whom I love in sincerity. And then the second sincerity is in verse 3, where it says, the truth that is in thee. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. So that was a sincere truth that was in Gaius. More or less, testified of thy truth, Gaius, of thy sincerity and thy integrity. But the other four, verses 3, 4, 8, and 12, the other four verses are the truth of God. Verse 3 again, the second mention, even as thou walkest in the truth of God. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And that's why I believe that John was preaching when this man Gaius was saved, because he refers to him as my children, my child in Christ. He was saved under John's ministry. Walk in the truth of God. Continue to walk in the truth of God. And then we see another one in verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such, that's those who come from other churches, that we might be fellow helpers in the truth. And again, that is the truth of God. Fellow helpers in the truth of God. We'll come back to that verse. Verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, of the truth of God. And we have a Savior who could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, I am the truth. And this was the truth of God that John is speaking about here when he writes to Demetrius. So we have twice it's mentioned as sincerity and four times as the truth of God. And we see in the first few verses the confirmation of Gaius by John. John knows what this man is like. He knows his integrity and he knows his sincerity. Then we see the condemnation of Diotrephes, this evil man, as John calls him, as we'll see in a moment. And then we see at the end the commendation of Demetrius, who was another good man. First of all, we look at verse 1. The elder, John the elder, why did he call himself that? Why didn't he say, I, John, and this is me, John, writing to you, Gaius, my well-beloved friend whom I love in the truth. Why didn't he say that? Well, I don't think he needed to. At this time, which was about AD 90 or 95, maybe later, at this time, it's possible that all the other apostles were gone, had died, had gone home to glory, and it was only John was left. And John is writing as an old man. And in his three epistles, as we look at him, we see him there, and he doesn't seem to need to prove his point on anything. He's lived a life. He's reached 80-plus years old, probably. And all he does is state facts. And all he does is bring truth to our notice as we read it. That's what he does. He just brings truth to our notice. He doesn't find the necessity to prove his point on everything he says. But he's experienced these things from the time that he was with the Lord Jesus Christ up until this present day when he wrote this letter. He has experienced God's hand. He's experienced the Holy Spirit. He's experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he met the Lord Jesus Christ and was with him for those 3 years or so before the cross. So here he is writing this letter, and he's saying unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2, he says, Beloved, I wish above all things, or I pray above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And what is he saying? He's saying three things there. That thou mayest prosper, that is, in temporal things, and be in health, and even as thy soul prospereth. So he knew that Gaius' soul was prospering, and he was doing well spiritually. But he also says that you may prosper in temporal things. And he might have the ability and the resources to look after the Christians that he entertained in his own house and that he looked after who came to the church. And that's interesting, isn't it? God doesn't make us all rich. Far from it, most of us. But if he does, we should be using whatever resources he gives us to his glory and for his benefit and for the benefit of others and for the benefit of the saints. And this is what this man did. And I love this verse 3. And he says, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and they testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now we've got people who've gone from this church, people I'm thinking like of Geraint and people like that. And occasionally we hear reports of other people concerning them, of other churches. And they say, oh, we had Geraint with us from the SDHS Scriptures, the Society for the Distribution of Hebrew Scriptures. And they will say, oh, we had Geraint with us. And he was such a blessing. And they say things like, we love the way he preaches the Word of God. And we love his understanding of the Word of God. It's completely different, but that doesn't make any difference. But it's something that we don't usually get. And it's wonderful to hear that, to hear that people say that about Geraint. And what does it say there? I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and they testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And to know that others, people who we might not have seen for many years or for quite a time, are still walking in the truth. And this brought home to me this morning, people like Margaret Piper. I think we can be assured that she is still walking in the truth. And that's where we should be, walking in the truth, walking in the truth of God's word, and walking sincerely and in integrity before our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful verse, and so is the next one. He says, I have no greater joy. This is John speaking. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And there can be no greater joy for a pastor, and certainly for an apostle, to see that those that he knows have trusted Christ as Savior are continuing to walk in the truth. And the opposite is true as well. How sad it is when somebody falls by the wayside, when somebody backslides and turns from God and turns back to the world and goes back to their former life. This book is written with absolute love. The love for the saints, the love for the people of God. And this morning, that's what we should have for one another, is a love for each one, a love for each one of us. What does it say? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Are we walking in the truth is the question, isn't it? Or are we walking some other way? We should be walking in the truth. We come back to that verse again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. Walk ye in it. Verse 5, he mentions beloved again, and he says, thou doest faithfully. He's talking to Gaius. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. What a commendation that is of this man Gaius, that he was doing that which was right, and he was helping those who came to do God's work. Verse 6, thou doest well to the strangers which have borne witness. Those same strangers had spoken to John, and they'd borne witness of Gaius's love before the church. And then he says, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And what he did, he progressed, didn't he? He progressed these people. He helped them. They had somewhere nice to stay, a bed to sleep in, and food to eat. And Gaius was there to speak to them and encourage them. He was doing a great job. And it's the same as us. We'll read on a little bit before I say any more on that verse. Thou shalt do well, he says, because that for Christ's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. So these were itinerant speakers and wandering evangelists that were going around the churches, missionaries, if you like. And they probably had very little resources, and yet this man Gaius was able to help them in that matter. And that's what he did. But look what he says, taking nothing of the Gentiles, or nothing of those around and about. And that's how we should be, isn't it? The gospel is free. The gospel is free. The Lord Jesus Christ preached, and it was free. Never cost anybody anything. The apostles preached, and it was free. And we should preach the gospel, and it should be free to all. We should never take a collection in a gospel meeting, a meeting where the gospel is specifically being preached to the unsaved, because we don't need money off the world. God will provide. And this is what he's saying in this verse, because that for Christ's sake, these people went forth and they took nothing off the Gentiles, but the church, and Gaius in particular in this passage, he looked after them and he helped them forward and on the way in which they were to go. And the key verse to this chapter is found in verse 8. And the theme of the chapter is receive, that we must receive those who are of the household of faith amongst us. If they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must take them and receive them unto ourselves. And it says, we therefore, in verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. So what does that make us? We might never have stood on a pulpit in our life. We might never have spoken publicly in our life. But what he's saying is this, that if we bring forward such people as missionaries and evangelists and whatever, and we help them on their way, we become fellow helpers or co-helpers in the truth of God. And that's what we should be, isn't it? And I'm reminded about Topher again. As far as I know, in the 10 years that I've been coming to Bethany, I don't think he ever stood in this pulpit I think I'm probably right in saying that, maybe not, but I don't think he did. And I don't think I ever heard him pray publicly. But his pulpit was downstairs, and anybody was free to speak to him. And very often he was an encouragement to everybody. I think he was an encouragement to everyone he met. He seemed to empathize with most people, and everybody found it fairly easy to talk to him. But he always had a different angle on something. And like you say, he was empathetic, but you could tell him something that was concerning you, or he'd know. He'd know there was something concerning you. He'd ask you, and he'd say, what's happening? What's wrong? And you tell him, and even though he might not know the answer to it, because of his experience, he would come in at a different angle and be able. And people are nodding, like, I can see you nodding, and you know exactly what he was like. So his pulpit wasn't here, but it was downstairs, and he was able to encourage so many people within the church. And this is what this man Gaius was like. So we therefore ought to receive others, that we might be fellow helpers to the cause, if you like, and to the truth. And John says, I wrote unto the church, in verse 9, but Diotrephes, and he comes to this man Diotrephes, and this man's name means hostility. And when we look at him, he was a proud man. He was a haughty man. He was an aggressive man. He was a forceful man. But he was meeting with God's people, and he was forcing them to do things that were not right. And what he was doing, John had obviously written to him, and the letter that John had written had been subdued. The letter had been subdued, and the letter had been lost, because unlike Gaius, Diotrephes did not want these visiting brethren to come to the church to preach. He didn't want the evangelists there, and he did everything that was in his power to stop them. We don't know why. We don't read why, but we know that he was a proud, haughty, aggressive, forceful man, and forced his views on others. And John had written to this church, and the letter had been suppressed by Diotrephes. Let's read what it says. Verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. And this man loved to have the preeminence among the people of God. Turn to Luke chapter 9, if you would, in your Bibles, and we see why John had the experience to deal with this. Luke chapter 9, just one verse. Verse 46. John had come across this before, you see, hadn't he? That disciple whom Jesus loved. And the disciples are talking among themselves, and they're saying, who is the greatest among us? Verse 46 says, then there arose a reasoning among the disciples, which of them should be greatest, which of them should be the greater among the disciples. So John knew all about this, and that's what gave him the ability to speak about it here. He says, this man Diotrephes, he loveth to have the preeminence among those in the church, and he receiveth us not. He doesn't want our letters, and he doesn't want us. But he goes on to say, even worse than that, John goes on to say, wherefore, if I come among you, I will remember Diotrephes' deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words or evil words. And not content therewith, he doesn't just prat against the apostles with malicious words. He himself will not receive the brethren, and he also forbiddeth them that would. So those who were quite prepared to welcome the brethren and say, oh, come and stay with us for a week while you're preaching and whatever else, whilst he didn't want that and tried to prevent that happening, he was also casting those same brethren out of the church. So he was an evil man. There's no doubt about that. That word malicious there means evil. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Timothy. And I might get bogged down in Timothy, but we'll just read one verse, I think. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy. And he says, but evil men and seducers or imposters shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And if there were imposters and evil men in churches in those days, there are evil men and imposters and seducers in churches in the day in which we live. But look what John was saying. I'm going to deal with it. When I come face to face, I will deal with the problem and the difficulty. But just as an aside, the key verse to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy is verse 14. It says this. It's an exhortation from the Apostle Paul. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue in the things that we have learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And for those of you who've been coming to Bethany for many years, you've learned many things, although we might sometimes think we haven't learned a thing. We've learned nothing. But we've had some wonderful preachers speaking from this pulpit, some wonderful pastors in the past, pastors I didn't know apart from Arthur Wicks, but pastors I didn't know. But I know that the preaching was always good. And be assured of the things that you have learned and the things that you know, and be assured of where you know them from. But be assured most of all that your learning has come through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. So it's the discipline of development of the believer in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. I said I'd get bogged down in Timothy, didn't I? Verse 16 as well. It's a wonderful verse. Brian, I think, was speaking about the Word of God last week. All Scripture, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's a picture, isn't it, of this man Gaius, of whom we've been talking. He was a man of good works. Wasn't relying on his salvation, for his salvation on good works, but he was a man of good works. Sorry for that, we got taken aside and run down another rabbit hole. But this Diotrephes, John was going to deal with him. He condemned him in words here, but he was going to deal with him when he got there. And we know that the Apostle Paul in his writings writes the same thing. When I come, I will deal with the matter. And can you imagine? These men had great authority of God, these apostles. And when they came to deal with a matter, you can be assured that matter was dealt with severely. And that's what was going to happen when John came amongst these people in this church, that Diotrephes would have been dealt with. And he goes on then in verse 11, and he basically compares Diotrephes with this other man, Demetrius, whose name means honesty. And he says, beloved, again, that's the fourth beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Strong words, aren't they? Strong words. Demetrius, on the other hand, he says, hath a good report or a good testimony of all men, and also by the truth of God itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Let's look a bit closely at that verse, verse 11. Follow not that which is evil. Sorry, verse 12. Demetrius hath a good report. So he's got a good testimony of all men. Of all men. So that's his first good report. That's his first testimony, is of all men. But his second testimony is of the truth of God itself. So he lines up, his life lines up with the truth of God. And then he finally says, yea, and we also bear record. So who is they? Well, it's certainly John. He says, we also bear record. Who is the we? Probably the other apostles knew him as well. And we also bear testimony. And we know that our testimony is true. So there we have it. We have this little letter that tells us about this little church and writes to us, or writes to this man Gaius, about the difficulties that are going on in the church, and also praising and exhorting the brethren and spurring them on to greater things. And the title that I put over this in my Bible, we looked at 1 John last week, John's first epistle, and that is fellowship enjoyed. Fellowship enjoyed. Then we looked at, or we haven't looked at it yet, the second epistle of John, which we might look at a later date, is fellowship controlled. So you have fellowship enjoyed in the first epistle, fellowship controlled in the second. And this last epistle of John is fellowship encouraged. And John was encouraging the fellowship amongst the church whilst also dealing with the problems that were in the church. And that's what he did. He wrote the letter to tell them that he would be coming to them shortly. But in a matter of just a few words, he encouraged them in the things of God. And this is what we need, isn't it? Amongst ourselves, to be encouraged. To be encouraged in what we believe. And to be encouraged in the Lord Jesus Christ. To know in whom we have believed. The last two verses, just finishing off the chapter there. And John says, I am going to visit you. At some stage, I hope to visit you. He said, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face, or mouth to mouth, literally. Peace be unto you. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And you know what that reminds me of? Greet the friends by name. This man had an intimate understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd lived with him for 3 years with the disciples. Greet the friends by name. Turn back to John chapter 10 for a moment. John chapter 10, John's gospel, I mean. And you know this portion of God's word, I would imagine, very well. And it's Jesus speaking about his sheep. Jesus speaking about his sheep. And he says, and a stranger, verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear the thieves and robbers. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What I'm looking for is the part where he says, the sheep know my voice. The sheep hear my voice. What verse? 27. Thank you very much. That's the one I'm looking for. I thought it was in the beginning, but it's not. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, this morning, are we his sheep? And do we hear his voice? And do we know his voice? And do we follow him? So God will add his blessing to the reading of his word and the words we have heard this morning. Read that through at your leisure. It'll take you, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes at the very most. There's so much in it. And we can just read over these chapters of God's word and miss it completely. Miss what he has for us. But that is an encouragement to the people of God in difficult times. Sure, God will bless the things that that have been said this morning. So one other thing I wanted to say, and where we read of that man called Diotrephes, the man whose name meant hostility, I heard a phrase on the radio the other day. I was traveling somewhere, heard a phrase, and the phrase was a humble bragger. A humble bragger. I don't know if anybody ever heard it. I'd never heard it. But there are lots of humble braggers about, aren't there? And we think of the Pharisees' prayer in Luke 18. I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men. And it's so easy to brag about things. We can brag about all sorts of things. We can brag about what we've done for the Lord. And we couch it in various different language. And we say things like, this is not about me. This is about the Lord. But that's humble bragging. We're bragging. We're building ourselves up. And we're telling everybody what we've done. Right? Whatever we've done is nothing compared with what God has done for us. Amen. We'll close with our final hymn. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name. Seeking for me. How appropriate Auntie Elaine's hymns always are. Seeking for me. The Lord Jesus Christ sought the sheep that was lost. The sheep was not looking for Christ. The lamb was not looking for Christ. Christ was looking for the lamb. There might be someone who's lost here this morning, who's never found the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation.
Lord, we thank you for it. And thank you for our brother and for his word. We just pray that you bless our word to our hearts and to go with us, Lord, as we leave this place. Again, we remember John and Joe and Darren and the family, Lord. We just lift them up again to you, Lord. We just ask you to be so near to them at this sad time. So be with us, we pray, until we meet again later this day. We pray in